first time it ever came out, it was a governor of New York in 1938 was the first time there was momentum on it.
38.
And, you know, you have people from the Rockefellers to the Roosevelts to Robert Moses, as, you know, recently as Andrew Cuomo, who've tried to champion this idea.
So you're hearing from developer Stephen Shapiro, who has been on a few of our shows here on WICC. He is a local developer, and he came up with this. I shouldn't say he came up with. He just actually outlined that he didn't come up with the idea, but he is the latest champion of this idea to build a bridge over Long Island Sound, connecting Bridgeport to Long Island, New York. So instead of the ferry service, you've got this massive bridge. And while on the surface, maybe it makes a lot of sense in your mind, I want to get all sides of the story on this, because besides it being a pretty penny, is it really logical? So I wanted to talk to our man of transportation, somebody who is a dear friend of mine, Jim Cameron, who writes the weekly talking transportation opinion column for Connecticut Mirror, and recently had a column specifically about Stephen Shapiro's idea of building a bridge and tunnel across Long Island Sound for a mere $50 billion. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm fine, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much. Like I said, Stephen Shapiro has been on my show. He has been on The Download, probably other shows on WICC's weekday broadcasts. But I wanted to talk from a transportation and certainly economic standpoint of, does this make sense? I do know he had a press conference recently where many were in favor of at least paying for a study to be done to see if it economically would make sense. But let's start from the beginning and what you know about Stephen Shapiro and how he came up with this idea, quote unquote.
Well, Mr. Shapiro is a very successful a housing developer specializing in affordable housing. He's based in Easton, and he has been floating this idea about building a bridge across Long Island Sound for many months now. He did not get any traction with the legislature, where he was seeking several million dollars to do a study on all this. And, you know, I mean, it's not a bad idea. It's just very expensive. It's $50 billion with a B dollars, assuming his math is right. And he's not an architect. He's never built a bridge in his life. So he doesn't have the expertise, I think, to actually do this. Conceiving it is easy. He's generated some beautiful AI renderings of what it would look like. And the irony of it is that the media has just gobbled this up. They have not asked any of the tough questions of Mr. Shapiro. They have not talked to transportation experts about why this idea doesn't make any sense. So that's the frustration I felt. That's why I wrote about Mr. Shapiro's folly, as I describe it, once again.
So, first of all, can we go back to something that you just mentioned before, which is actually a question that I asked directly, but I didn't get quite an answer that I wanted. Why would it cost millions of dollars just to do the study? Like, and here's where you might know this, Jim. Here's the thing is, maybe that is the typical cost, but when you hear that we need millions of dollars just to do the study, already I'm thinking to myself, wait, why? Why can't we do can we do this for cheaper? Well, can't we figure out if this economically makes sense? I don't know, but I'm not a transportation expert.
Hey, look, if you were going to put an addition on your house, I think you'd probably want to get a couple of bids from contractors.
Totally.
The reason we do a study is before we commit to $50 billion at minimum, you want to do a study. Now, his idea of a study and what the reality is are two different things. A market feasibility study would probably take about 3 years, according to my transportation experts that spoke to me off the record, 3 years and cost $5 to $10 million. Then you layer on top of that the environmental impact statement that would cost $25 to $50 million more. And this assumes that the states of New York and states of Connecticut can get together on this, because they're going to bear some of the cost of all this, assuming he can actually persuade the federal government to pay for the majority of the cost. But I don't think we should spend another dollar on this. As your soundbite at the beginning began, this is something that's been studied for almost 100 years now, and it hasn't been built. You got to ask yourself why. Why hasn't it been built? Because it's too expensive. Because then it doesn't pencil, as they say in the trade. The math doesn't work out. And I don't think we should spend any money doing a study of this when it's really never going to get built. The only people that make money in this kind of work these days are consultants and engineers. And, you know, they make a lot of money because everybody wants to study things to death in this state. We can't pay for the transportation we have already in this state.
Okay, there it is.
We can't afford the buses. We can't afford the trains. There's a fare increase coming on Metro North. And Mr. Shapiro wants to spend tens of millions of dollars to study an idea that could cost at least $50 billion. No, it just doesn't make sense. Again, you want to put an addition on your house. Yeah, you can go ahead and look at that. But if you got a hole in your roof, why don't you fix the hole in the roof first? The hole in the roof is that our existing transportation network here doesn't work, isn't adequately funded.
Right. It's broken. So I'm really glad you said that, Jim, because the one thing that has always given me pause, and as I mentioned, I've spoken to Mr. Shapiro once when this news broke, I want to say last year, actually. One of the things that I remember talking about was, I said, well, we kind of already are relying on the federal government to try and pull their weight just for Metro North. And I still haven't seen it come to fruition. Granted, I'm told it's, you know, we're coming. It's all coming. But I haven't seen it yet, even though all the studies in the world say that we have one of, if not the most busy, that rail line, that corridor. I mean, from I-95, the studies we've been doing for just our DOT on I-95 to what's going on with the rail and all the federal government's going to help with Metro North. I haven't seen it yet. Not saying I'm not a believer, but we have current systems, to your point, that we're not up to where we need to be, up to speed, no pun intended. So where do we think other states or even the federal government will say, yes, we also will invest in a brand new bridge that, by the way, we do have? Not saying that the ferry system is as fast, obviously, as a bridge. I get it. I do understand it. But it's not like we have no way of getting from point A to point B. It's not like that doesn't exist.
That ferry, you know, that ferry, it works. It was started by P.T. Barnum, and it runs, you know, almost like every half hour, 45 minutes or so. That ferry carries 1,400 vehicles a day. Now, Mr. Shapiro thinks that maybe if this bridge tunnel complex got built, it might carry up to 100,000 vehicles a day. Okay, just imagine, let's say just half of them are coming up into Connecticut. Where are we going to put 50,000 vehicles that suddenly arrive on our shores in Bridgeport? Where are they going to go? You know, he thinks that this will help reduce traffic congestion in Connecticut by getting people onto the bridge instead of driving all the way down to the Throg's Neck or to the Bronx. But, I just don't think this is going to make any kind of sense. That's why you got to study it. And a study takes time, and a study costs tens of millions of dollars that would be better spent on more rail cars, more buses, and improving I-95. Don't waste money on a study for a bridge that's never going to get built.
We are chatting with Jim Cameron of Talking Transportation, and we're talking about the idea of a bridge being constructed over Long Island Sound, connecting Bridgeport to Long Island, New York, and vice versa. And Stephen Shapiro, who is a local developer, local developer in Fairfield County, is the most recent person to come up with this idea and has really been pushing for it, wanted legislative dollars. That did not happen during this past legislative session, but actually recently had a press conference last week about this with a renewed push for it and wanting the money for a study. First and foremost, Jim, appreciate the numbers and kind of getting your perspective, what you're hearing from transportation experts, because when we hear that, it's just a study, like that's not that much money. What I just heard you say was, first of all, you're talking about now another 3+ years, and you're talking about multiple studies, and you're talking about tens of millions of dollars. That's before you even, you know, put hammer to nail, so to speak. So I think that that context matters. That matters. The second thing, though, is that we're not just talking about a bridge anymore. It's now also become a much bigger idea, is my understanding.
Well, he's added some tunnels to the renderings that he's generated using AI, because he thinks that, you know, if you live in Bridgeport or you live in Long Island, you don't want to have like a huge towering superstructure of a bridge looming on your horizon. So we'll start the process of getting across the Sound, under the Sound in a tunnel, and then rise up to a bridge that goes over the, well, you know, and he cites the Chesapeake Bay Bridge in Virginia as an example. Yeah, that certainly works. It's longer than this bridge would be because it covers a big piece of terrain. But he also added trains. So one of the pictures that he has generated shows, you know, a high-speed train like Acela hurtling along on tracks between the two lanes of cars on this bridge tunnel complex. However, he didn't check with Metro North. He didn't check with Amtrak. Metro North said, no, we have no plans to run trains across any bridge on Long Island Sound. The Connecticut Department of Transportation, if any reporter had talked to the DOT, they would have found out, no, we don't want to have anything to do with this particular idea. Even, you know, a neutral group like the Regional Planning Association, which has been at this business of planning in the tri-state area for almost 100 years, they describe Mr. Shapiro's guesstimation of a $50 billion price tag on this as fantasy. So, you know, the experts who know something about transportation, who would have to buy into this idea and sell it to their own state governments, let alone getting support from your congressional delegations as well, too. None of them believe that this is a good idea. Anybody can hold a press conference at the Capitol. Anybody can generate pictures of a beautiful looking bridge across Long Island Sound. But this guy has no credibility, no experience. I wish he would go back to what he does very well, which is build affordable housing. God knows we need it in Connecticut. So please stay in your swimming lane, Mr. Shapiro.
Jim, I have to ask this question because I know I can be very highly critical of journalism in today's world. And I know you are a seasoned professional. You've been covering transportation and you've been in the news outlet here in Connecticut for a long time. And I want to know, when you look at the frenzy around Stephen Shapiro, as I mentioned, and I'm not going to act like WICC hasn't covered this. When this first broke last year, I think I interviewed Stephen Shapiro once. I personally have not spoken to him since. But to your point, I think when you look at the frenzy that still follows, especially, you know, you just said something so significant, which is that we have a real housing crisis and we need to find more ways to create opportunity for people to just be able to live, not even comfortably, just be able to live in our state and take the jobs that we need filled and so on and so on. What do you think the way Connecticut media in general has reacted to this story and has covered this story, what do you think it says about local journalism?
It is a sad example of how lazy some reporters have got, how downsized our media has become. I'm particularly critical of the Hearst publications, the Connecticut Post, the Norwalk Hour, the Stamford Advocate. Those people were offered a bright, shiny object. Mr. Shapiro was being interviewed about affordable housing. And he said, what I really want to do is to build a bridge across Long Island Sound. And the reporter took the bait and ran with it. It's a sexy story. There are some beautiful pictures, which now, thanks to artificial intelligence, he was able to generate. And it's great for clicks. And that's all the local media cares about these days, is clicks on their website. So they fanned the flames of this story. They supported the idea. They've talked about it. Some of them have even editorialized about it. Why can't we do all this? But none of them talked to the experts. None of them went back and did what I did. And it took me, like, you know, a couple hours work to find the people that would have to believe in this and have to support it at the state level, at the regional level, Metro North, MTA. And none of them want to do this. And the fact that they were so enthusiastic in getting back to me and offering a quote, said to me, they've been dying for somebody to come and say, what do you think about this idea? So I am really disappointed. If you're a consumer of media in this state, if you read what pass for newspapers these days, or The Patch, or your local news websites, look at that stuff with a very critical eye, because I think a lot of reporters are missing the story by not doing the diligence that they're supposed to do. You know, not just to gobble up this guy's renderings and his, you know, press conference at the state capitol, where there were no experts on transportation, by the way, and not ask any kind of questions.
I did notice that. Yeah. I mean, and I don't mean to laugh because it's true. And I honestly think it's been across. So it's fascinating to me, which is, again, and I'm not saying, because listen, I can always learn, and I know every single day I come to this job and I'm like, oh, that's why I like it. I learn so much. But it's one of the reasons that I really, first of all, you know what gave me pause, Jim, was that nothing happened during the legislative session. Like, I never even saw it come to a call to even debate on it. I was hearing that this was going to maybe be tucked into the big at the end of, you know, implementer or budget bill. And I didn't know, and I don't think that ever came to fruition. And I just kept noticing it was getting kicked down the road and not really being taken seriously. And part of, you know, part of it for me was, well, it is an election year. Maybe they don't feel like this is worth it. But then I thought, no, I think it's bigger than that. I think it's because once you start to dig into it and you realize that there's only one person that's being talked to right now, generally, you're missing all the other sides of the story. But I don't know if the general population realizes that. I think it's very surface, unfortunately, the way that we consume news today.
Yep. And I'm heartened by the fact that the legislature was smart enough to put this, to kill this bill in committee. But it's coming back. That's one of the reasons they held this press conference, which was to say, hey, we're going to come back to the legislature and ask for some money. They asked for a one-year study in the previous legislation. 1 year. As I told you, my transportation experts who have worked in the industry for decades say a study would take at least 2, 3, 4 years. And that's just the first study before you get into the whole paperwork of the effect on the environment, et cetera. So, you know, be careful of people that say, it's just a study. It's only a few million dollars. A few million dollars would mean more trains on Metro North. A few million dollars would be better spent on better bus service in this state, or dealing with the collisions that happen on I-95. Why are we, pardon the expression, pissing away money on studies which could be invested in what we have already?
Yeah. Jim Cameron, always appreciate having your commentary again, writes the weekly talking transportation opinion column for Connecticut Mirror. And I'm actually going to link his article to our website, voiceofct.com. Thanks, Jim. We'll see what happens with this project.